Kevin, the unpacking in the bedroom done, looked out the window toward the lake. He could see a lone sail in the part of the lake visible from the bedroom. Memories of easy days with his great-grandfather out on the lake and the runabout came back to him, and he smiled slightly. "Samantha?" Kevin called when he reached the bottom of the stairs. She stepped out of the kitchen and looked at him. "I'm going to check out the boathouse, see if the runabout is still there." Samantha simply nodded. She didn't know there was a boathouse with a homestead. Polly had never mentioned it. Kevin strolled down the path to the boathouse. It was somewhat grown over, mostly with tall grass, but there were a few saplings getting their start, too. "Need to get this cleared," mumbled Kevin. Then he resumed whistling softly as he walked. A few minutes later, and he was at the lake shore. The boathouse looked much the worse for wear. Some storm in the past few years had stripped most of the roofing off and peeled some of the same corrugated metal off the sides. It took a couple of heavy heaves to get the shoreside door open, and Kevin walked inside very gently. The deck boards were not in very good shape, either. The wide garage door at the far end of the building was half off its tracks, twisted beyond repair. And there, under the water, Kevin saw the small runabout. It would be a total loss when it was raised. Kevin looked up. Years of rain coming through the holes in the roof had undoubtedly sunk the boat. "Have to do something about this," Kevin said softly. "Can't live on a lake and not have a boat." Just as gingerly as he'd entered the boathouse, he left, not bothering to try and shut the door he'd had to force open. Kevin was thinking when he entered the house and didn't notice Samantha watching him. He went into the study and disappeared from her view, so she turned back to the kitchen once again, wondering about the future, about what the future would bring with the master of the house once again in residence. She had been spending summers here with Polly before she came to stay and help her aunt. This place was more home now than not. She'd even given up the apartment she'd had during college when she came here to stay with Polly during her injury and illness. She had her degree, but in this economy, he was going to hire someone with a bachelor's degree in history and no real work experience other than taking care of a house for someone. Her several scholarships had paid her way through college, so she hadn't had to work to make it. She spent her time studying. She sighed and wondered if it would even matter the way things were going in the modern world. Samantha longed for the time she'd learned about from grade school on through college. She'd never heard the phrase, "Be careful what you wish for." Kevin first spent a few minutes with his memories of the study, where he'd learned so much during summers here as a youngster. He sighed at the memory of his great-grandfather's death. But Kevin shook his head, getting rid of the bad memories, and set about looking for boat dealers in the area using the phone directory. He made a few calls and made an appointment to look at a new boat the next day. Cheerfully, whistling again, Kevin left the study and went into the kitchen. "What's for supper?" he asked. Samantha was in the same apron, working at the sink. "Pot roast. Polly said that was your favorite." "Polly is right. What do you want me to do to help?" "Leave," Samantha said before thinking. She was used to working alone in the kitchen. She didn't like people looking over her shoulder. Kevin chuckled and said, "One of those, huh?" Samantha knew the back of her neck was as red as her face probably was. She couldn't think of anything to say after her comment. Still chuckling, Kevin went out the back door into the porch and then to the detached garage. Having seen the condition of the runabout, he decided he'd better check the homestead's vehicle collection. He was surprised but pleased to find his great-grandfather's small collection of vehicles not only intact and in good condition, but up on blocks, the batteries removed. The old but still pristine 1946 Dodge four-wheel drive power wagon that had been the senior Kevin's personal vehicle since right after World War II and the homestead's work truck since the homestead's initial days. It was now regulated to collector status, one of the first equally rugged U500 Unimogs imported, taking the power wagon's place for use around the homestead. Great-grandmother Elizabeth's Pride and Joy, too, was on blocks, needed only the battery installed and the fuel tank filled to be ready to carry four people in luxury. The 1976 Cadillac Fleetwood Talisman, like the power wagon, had been kept up religiously over the years of use. It looked like it had just come off the showroom floor. Great-grandfather's Suzuki GS850GL shaft drive motorcycle was up on a stand, too. It had been ridden only a few times by his great-grandfather at great-grandmother's insistence. never wanted to get rid of quality goods. It still had life in them. Great-grandfather Kevin had parked the bike rather than sell it. The heavily customized Suburban that great-grandfather Kevin had commissioned not long before his death was on blocks and had the batteries on trickle charges like the other vehicles. Checking the work bay of the garage, Kevin noticed the spotless toolboxes and cabinets, the four heavy-duty mobile lift posts for lifting a vehicle so it could be worked on safely underneath while standing, and all the other equipment great-grandfather Kevin had insisted on having in the garage workshop. A quick tour of the other general workshop proved to be in as good condition as the automotive shop. The equipment in the ammunition reloading room was all covered for protection. The cabinets for powder and primers locked up for safety. The magazine just out the reloading room held more powder, including several cans of black powder and black powder substitutes. Stop.